Father, I pray that the words of my mouth may be anointed. I speak into people's hearts, Lord. Bring change, Lord. I know that it's the empowering of your Holy Spirit that quickens our words, empowers our words to be effective. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as a quick indication, how many people are needing breakthrough? Huge amount. So this preach is really coming off the back of the context of unblocking the wells. Michelle's been speaking about that at the furnace meetings. And Ezekiel 47, which Peter Haynes has spoken about. And he spoke about the healing waters that flows from the throne of God. And the river just gets bigger and it's teeming with life. And alongside the bank of that river, there are trees. And the trees have leaves that do not wither. And those leaves are for healing. And the fruit that is on those trees is sure and it does not fail. So to open up, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. And its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So while I was thinking about that, if there's someone suffering from fear, anxiety, that goes tonight. In Jesus' name. But when the man puts his trust in man or trust in the flesh, and makes flesh his strength, and his heart departs from the Lord, he'll be like a shrub in the desert, and will not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land which is not inhabited. Can you see the contrast? Okay. So really, we want to be people that just continuously yielding fruit. So Jesus said in John 15, he said, he who abides in me will bear much fruit, and I in him will bear much fruit. Okay. So that was Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 33, there's a scripture, verse 15 and 16, it says, he who walks righteously, or walks in righteousness, and speaks uprightly or righteously. And then it says, and who basically who rejects evil and doesn't follow that way, but follows after godliness. It says, his bread will be given to him and his water will be sure. So we need our water to be sure, effective, giving life, speaking life to people, causing life to blossom. But in contrast, We can also see that Jeremiah 2, it speaks about when a nation rejects God. And he says, Jeremiah 2:11, has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory for what does not profit? Be astonished, O heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid and be very desolate. This is speaking to the heavens, to be desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, or made themselves water containers that, and it said broken cisterns that can hold no water. But on the contrary, we trust in the Lord, and we put our hope in the Lord, so we have come to the fountain of living waters. Amen. If we can turn to Isaiah 41. It So it says the poor, from verse 17, the poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. And their tongues fail for thirst. And if you carry on reading, it's because they've forsaken God, they followed after idols, and that type of thing. But this is the grace of God comes, and he says, I, the Lord, will hear them. Even though they've done that, I will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. He says, I will open up rivers in the desolate hearts. So remember how the people transgressing, he said, the heavens are almost are desolate. Be afraid of this. But now he says, I'm going to open up rivers in those desolate hearts. And a fountain in the midst of the valley, I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Carries on to say that he will plant in that dry land, in the wilderness, he'll plant a whole range of trees, cypress and acacias and oil trees and pine trees, and they will see and know that the Lord, and see that the Lord, the hand of the Lord has actually done this and created such a forest within the desert place. So Isaiah 55, from verse 1, it says, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. So there's a calling now to return. Come back to the fountain of living waters. Everyone who's thirsty, come back to the waters. He who has no money, going back to the poor and the needy that we're seeking water, the poor and the needy. So Jesus actually says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are those who mourn on the Sermon on the Mount. They're going to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they're going to be satisfied. Okay? Psalm 113 says, He raises the poor. God raises the poor out of the dust, and the needy out of the ashes. What a picture of restoration that comes through. So Isaiah 55, everyone who's thirsty, come to the waters. He has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk. Without money, without price, simply for self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? So Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry, and whoever believes in me will not thirst. And he carries on to say in Isaiah 55, and why do you spend your earnings for what does not satisfy? So listen diligent to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness, the fullness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Isaiah 44, verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Floods on the dry ground. And then he comes and he starts explaining it. I will pour my spirit on your seed and my blessing on your offspring. So, if we can just have some of those pictures up. These are examples. Just looking at the dry and the barren land, but suddenly it gets transformed into a blossoming place. And this happens in South Africa, Namakoland. And so often the natural is used to distinguish or speak of the spiritual, and the water typically referring to the spirit. So what you see in South Africa just after the winter, you get the spring rains coming through, and you just get this blossoming that comes through. And it's almost like a whole transformation occurs. And it's such a sort of a spectacular phenomenon that it draws nations to come and see this. People from all nations, all tribes, coming through to see this marvel that happens. And this happens on our doorstep. So Isaiah 32 also described a land that was forsaken and desolate. And he says in Isaiah 32, speaks about the land coming up with thorns and briars, which represents the curse. And the palace is forsaken, the bustling city deserted, and the and this continues, and then he says, until the Spirit is poured out from on high. There's suddenly a transformation. When the Holy Spirit comes, it just brings in that whole new life and blossoming. And he says, and the wilderness will become as the fruitful field. So this is a little painting that I did really to try and depict this transformation that happens, how the wilderness just gets transformed as the river flows through, bringing through a blossoming that happens, where life is suddenly restored. So we see this huge transformation when the Spirit is poured out. Huge transformation. So Jesus in Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news. And who is it to? The poor. Remember the poor and the needy, the poor and the needy, they seek water, but there was none. Jesus comes along and he's starting to fulfill this. And he says, he has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted. Heal up the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance, liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he rolled up the scroll and he said, today, that is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. He was actually quoting from Isaiah 61, and that continues. I want to just carry on reading from Isaiah 61. So he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the Lord's vengeance, or the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort those that mourn, to point them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, there's a whole transformation that happens. Then he says, and they shall be called trees of righteousness. Not singular, there's a group of people that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, okay, that he might be glorified, and they will build up the old waste places. Okay. They will raise up former desolations. They will repair the waste cities and the desolation of many generations.
Amen. That's awesome.
Sure. So this is our ministry as people of God, as trees of righteousness. As we've heard in weeks past, Michelle's actually, you've alluded to how we need to bring about a culture of honor, take away the pointing of the finger, take away the oppression, free of offense. And that's actually very much Isaiah 58, the true fast, is to bring healing and restoration. Okay? And Isaiah 58, if I can just read that, to extend yourself, if you extend yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, your light will then shine and rise out of the darkness. Peter spoke about that. Arise, shine, your light has come, 2 weeks ago. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and nations will come to the dawning of that light, and kings to that brightness. Okay, so your darkness will be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you, continue, and satisfy your soul in drought. Strengthen your bones. And you will be like a watered garden. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's you. And those who come out of you will build the old waste places again, raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Now, how much do we need that in this day and this age? Where you look around and it's in the natural, we can see this type of scenario. But when the Spirit is poured out, let's see this transformation happening. So Isaiah 35 says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. Who's the them? The group of people. The desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose. Even with joy and singing, they will see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. It says, then strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God comes with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Now in 2 Corinthians 6, he says, knowing that you are fellow workers with God, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Okay? For he says, in the favorable time. Now we just read that in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. In the favorable time, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I've helped you. That's 1 Corinthians 6. Behold, now is that favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. And it continues in Isaiah 35 to say, the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb will sing. For waters will burst out of the wilderness. Okay, so there's healing comes when the same waters just get, not only is there restoration of people, but there's also a healing fountain that is opened up. For waters will burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert, and the parched ground will become as a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And it speaks of, in verse 8, a highway will be their road, and it will be called the highway of holiness. So in Isaiah 43, it's speaking about the new covenant. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Don't you even know I will make a road in the wilderness? Now Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the road of the Lord and make his path straight. So I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beasts of the field will honor me, and jackals and the ostrich, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people that I formed for myself. Let's turn to John 4. Jesus is speaking at Jacob's well, speaking to the Samaritan woman. He said, he asked her to give him a drink. If you knew the gift, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Verse 14. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So we end up with, there's the solution when the Spirit is poured out. Jesus is saying, there's the answer. You've got it. Come to me. Take the living water. It's open. It's ready. He wants to give drink to his chosen people. Moving on to John, a little bit further, John 5. We see the story about, let me just read it. In Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there was a pool, which was called in Hebrew, Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel came down at a certain time and into the pool, stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. There was a certain man who had an infirmity there 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another one steps down in front of me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Proverbs 10, verse 11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." So Jesus, when he spoke the word to the sick man, he stirred up a fountain of life that the man didn't have to go and touch the natural water. He didn't have to take him and put him into the water. He was stirring up the well that was within him and releasing life to that man, and literally said, "Get up." Proverbs 10, verse 11. So Jesus, by his word spoken, effectively stirred the water for that man. He was being a fountain of life, releasing healing into his situation. Proverbs 18, verse 4. "The word of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." So we read earlier about Isaiah 35. It spoke about the desert being glad for them. The healing occurred because there was a stirring of the water. So what I'm trying to do by bringing this through is to realize, or make you realize, that we have the Spirit of life that is able to cause a stirring of the water and bring healing and release healing to those around us. So that the blind eyes can be opened, the deaf ears can the lame can leap, the dumb can sing because of the waters that have burst forth in the wilderness. So John 7:37-39, Jesus cried out in a loud voice and said, "If any man is thirsty," the thirsty and the needy, they're seeking water, but there was none. But Jesus says, "I'm the fountain of living waters. If you want to come to me, come and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in me." Remember the first scripture said, "He blessed is the man who trusts and relies on God." He will be like the tree planted by the waters, whose roots tap into the river of life. "He who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow continuous springs and rivers of living water." Continuous springs. Continuous springs of living water. This he was speaking here of the Spirit who had not, whom those who believed, who have faith in him, were afterwards to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Do you know that Jesus is glorified? He sent the promise forth. All who are thirsty, come and drink. Ezekiel 36. Speaking of the New Testament, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean." Verse 25. "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and your idols." Remember I said that nation that followed after idols, and that's why they were in the desert place. God's opened up a fountain, even against that. "Cleanse you from all your filthiness and your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart. And give you a heart of flesh." You read about that in Hebrews 8. "I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, in my ways, in my decrees. I will take out the heart of stone, give you out of your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You will be my people. I will be your God. Now that is in Romans 9, 1 Peter 2. There's a whole bunch of places that speak about it in the New Testament. That those who are not a people are now the people of God. Because he's had mercy on us. And he says, I will multiply the fruit of your tree and increase and the increase of your fields, so you will never ever again bear reproach of famine amongst the nations. Verse 33, on the day that I cleanse you from all iniquities, I'll enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land will be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. Hey. The wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. The nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock. So Michelle's seen pictures of people coming through these doors and just seen multitudes coming. The Lord's also asking us, put this on as a prayer. Ask of me to do this for them. He will do it. But I will let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. Peter Haynes spoke 2 weeks ago about saying, well, what's 2013 in store? You know? And it's like, well, the church. You deciding. Let's there it is. Ask of the Lord. Let them inquire of me to do this for them. Rebuild the waste places. Sure. So all these scriptures that I've been speaking about all refer to the New Testament. Okay. So Jesus, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Then he carries on a little bit further, and he says, in Matthew 26:31, Jesus said to him, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For as it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So if we go and look at where that is, it's actually Jesus quoting from Zechariah 13. Verse 7. Let's read from verse 6. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Other translations say between your hands, and other translations will say, what are these stripes that are over on your back? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Okay, so we know this is talking about the cross. Okay. Zechariah 13 verse 1, in that day, in which day? The crucifixion, when that happened, because he's talking, verse 6 and 7 is about the cross. In that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and unrighteousness. a fountain was opened. So I was preparing this. That is the scripture that the Lord like woke me up with, and I just got so excited because I suddenly realized this whole thing about speaking about the Holy Spirit and the blessing that comes through. I thought, well, how does this relate to the cross? And then I found that scripture, and I was like, wow, in that day a fountain is open. So Paul says, I want to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when we realize that this is actually all because of the cross, that we get this transition that happens because a fountain has been opened up against sin and unrighteousness to cleanse, to heal. So if we look at Isaiah 48, it says, the Lord redeemed Jacob, and they did not thirst in the desert because the rock was split and water gushed out. So the rock was broken, water poured out. But in 1 Corinthians 10, it says that rock was Jesus to give spiritual drink in the desert. Okay. So they did not thirst in the desert because the rock was split. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Yeah. When I was reading John 19, something that's always stood out to me as well. When Jesus had been crucified and he was, they were breaking the leg of the other criminals. When they got to Jesus, they saw that he was dead, and they didn't. But the soldier went, and it says, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. And he who saw it has borne witness, and his testimony is true. He knows that what he is telling, that he is telling the truth, that you may believe. And I've always wondered, why is that so? Why is he putting so much emphasis? He who tells you this testimony is true. Why is he making such an emphasis about the pierced side of Jesus Christ? And it says, but I'm testifying that blood and water flowed out. So we see that at the cross, a fountain was opened up. Okay. And we know that we are washed by the water. Okay. That Ephesians 5, he might sanctify and cleanse the bride, the church, with the washing of water by the word. Okay. So there's that example. John 15, Jesus says, this word that I've spoken to you, you are clean because of this word that I've spoken to you. We are washed by his blood, Revelation 1:5. Jesus has washed us. He's washed us in his blood. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And we washed by the Spirit. Because Titus 3, verse 4-6, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not with works that we have done in our own righteousness, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ. So we pick up in 1 John 5, three witnesses that bear witness in heaven. It's God the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And there's three that bear witness on the earth. And these three agree as one. And the three that agree on the earth is the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And they all agree at one. And we see that there's a cleansing. All of them give a cleansing flow that wash away sin and unrighteousness and cleanse it, to cleanse the people. Oh, sure. So, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5-6. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, Our sufficiency of God is of God. Our source is in God, who has made us sufficient as those who minister the New Testament, who minister the Spirit. Not of the letter that kills, but of the Spirit that makes alive, that brings life. So the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, quickens the mortal body. He makes this a fruitful field. Not only that, He's made us able ministers of His Spirit that brings life. So all those that are needing a touch from God, realize that this word has gone out. The word has got power. It's got a cleansing ability. It's got a seed in it, and the word that goes out will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which it's been sent out to do. If we see the word is actually a cleansing fountain, it's able to take, restore, bring, renew, replenish, revitalize. So, one last scripture. Ephesians 3. May Christ through your faith dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. This is a love that is experienced, it's tangible, that you may know, that you may be filled throughout all your being, and to all the fullness of God may have the full measure of the divine presence and become a body that is wholly filled and flooded with God Himself.
Wow.
That's the Amplified Version. So yeah, just as we go into a time of ministry, I just want to open up opportunity. God has made us able ministers of the Spirit that brings life, that brings us healing, that brings the restoration. God has made us able ministers. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it is God who has equipped us, called us, put His word in our heart. And that word has got power. It's able to activate and release life into every situation that we... So yeah, if we can just have the musicians up, that would be awesome. And just anyone that needs to be prayed for, ministered to, but if you just want to... I'm actually going to just... How many of you experienced something in this meeting? You've actually felt the tangible power of God changing a situation, or where you found something in your heart, in your body, healing, physical healing has come? Because it says that He sent His word and He healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. So that word is able, it's powerful and it's activated. Okay, great. So if you can, yeah. I just remember a song that when I was growing up, I must have been like, sheesh, before I even went to school. It says that I have a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got that river of life flowing out of me. So have you.